This is love. Not that we loved God, no, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. John wrote that. The same John who was at the foot of the cross, the same John who wrote this gospel we're going to read from right now, an eyewitness of the cross. He wrote that in his letter of 1 John to the churches. This is love. Remember when I was much younger, a wiser, older person once asked me the question, what does it mean when you tell someone you love them anyways? I mean, what does that mean? And this applies in friendship, in romance. What does it mean to love someone? That's a hard question to answer because we get a lot of different versions of love in the world right now. Love is complicated, right? Some of you remember when on Facebook you used to be able to fill in your status, relationship status. It's complicated. Love is confusing. Love doesn't always last. It's not always reliable. But instead of talking about those human kinds of love, because they always fall short and they somehow always seem to get twisted at some point, we're going to look at the cross to answer this question. What is love? You know that love is not thinking that you love someone just as long as they're useful to you. That you love someone as long as they're going to do something in return for you. You love someone as long as you have some feelings of love there. Many would say that's not real love, and you're right. Because this is love. Here's real love, lasting love, enduring love. I'll face anything no matter what kind of love. I'll love you no matter how much you love me. This is love. This morning we're going to look at John's Gospel, chapter 19, and how this is love. How Jesus died for us, but also how he lived up until the very end. Till the bitter end, he loved and he lived well until it was all over and finished. John chapter 19. Carrying his own cross, Jesus went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. A Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Love fulfills that prophecy. Of all the prophecies John could have included that Jesus fulfilled at the cross, those plans that God had set in motion so many years before, and those plans that all come together at the cross, so we can see his love in motion, in action, keeping its promises, all the promises he made that would happen there, it's that one. That the Messiah, the Christ, would die with nothing left to his name. That his very last possession would be taken from him by soldiers' games. That he would die embarrassed, cold, a reject, as if he wasn't safe to be around society, an outcast. He was led outside of the city to the place of the skull, a place of horror, a place of punishment. There were many false Christs who came before Jesus' time, who claimed to be the one the Old Testament prophets said would come. But which of them, and which of our heroes today, which of our influencers today, who claim to tell us the wisdom about life and how to live and what love is, which of them would be willing to fulfill that prophecy? Would be willing to have that to be true about them? They would die with no possessions. The very last thing they owned would be taken from them by soldiers' games. Only love would go to that length. And John includes that detail for us. When you love someone, you will do anything. Jesus even does that after he carries his own cross. He carries a cross like a criminal. He is raised up between two real criminals. He carries the cross as if he deserves what he's going through. He could stop it all, but he doesn't. He keeps trudging on to that hill, the place of the skull. This is love. John writes this in chapter 19 of his gospel. If you are at a point in life right now where love has grown cold, love isn't what you thought it would be. Love has let you down. Love is unreliable. And if you're not reading any other part of the Bible right now, could I encourage you today, this weekend, open to John's gospel so you can see how much God loves you and what love really looks like? Because from the beginning to the end of that gospel, it is all about how God so loved the world, and here's the proof in his son Jesus. This cross carrier is the one from John chapter 1 that John talks about, who was with God in the beginning, who was with God even before the beginning. This one, John says, is God. John says this one is the light of the world, a light no darkness can overcome. In this one is life. Existence wouldn't exist without him. Your heart would not be beating. Your pulse wouldn't be there. It would be flatlined. Your breath would not be in your lungs without this one who is the author of life. And so are you starting to get a sense for what love is and what love does and how big of a deal this sacrifice is? Go from chapter 1 of John now to chapter 19, where John records what he sees as it all comes together, where the author of life dies, where the one who gives you a pulse flatlines. The one who gives the beat to your heart, his heart stops beating. The one who gives breath to your lungs, he breathes his last. The light of the world seems to be plunged into darkness as darkness covers the land from noon to 3 that afternoon. An unnatural kind of darkness. God dies. Why? Why is this kind of love necessary? This is love. Not that we've loved God, thank God. but that God loved us and gave himself, gave his son for us as the atoning sacrifice. Why? For our sins. Have you ever thought that sin is essentially telling God, I don't want you in my life? Or it's telling God, I do want you in my life, but I want you in my life on my terms. That is the simplest way I can understand sin. Of course, God, I want your forgiveness, but I don't want to stop doing what I'm doing. I like it too much. It's irresistible. Of course, God, I want heaven. Who doesn't want to live forever? But I don't want you in my business. I don't want you in every nook and cranny of my life, every single day of my life. Lord of my life. That's what sin is. Not wanting God in your life. And so have you ever thought it is actually a good God who is completely just? It is completely fair that God would say to that, okay, I'm backing off. You said you don't want me in your life. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't only back off. He lets us get away with so much. He is so patient. He lets so much happen right under his nose that he sees it all. All those sins we put on that cross, they're no surprise to him. He already knows about them. But he doesn't just back off. Do you know what he did? On Good Friday, a good God sent his son. A just God sent his son to the cross. See, God would not be good if he would not be just. We want God to come in and be just and fair when other people wrong us, right? So why wouldn't we want the same for ourselves? For sin to be dealt with. And it was. This is love. On Good Friday, we call it good because God remains good. He remains perfectly just. Sin is so serious. We see that by the ugliness of what Jesus went through. We see perfect justice at the cross, and we see perfect love at the cross. As Jesus is crushed by the mountain of God's justice instead of us. Make no mistake, Jesus stands in our place. Jesus takes the full justice of God that my sins, your sins, the world's sins deserve. That was why it was so horrific. Did you hear Isaiah's prophecy? Disfigured beyond even human likeness. I don't think of that when I think of the cross. That's what happened to him. And the physical pain was just the beginning. His soul was crushed as if he had been selfish and foolish, as if he had lusted and been greedy, as if he had been discontent, as if he had wasted so many opportunities to love others the way he wanted to be loved. This is love. Look at how he died, but look how he lived till the bitter end. I want you to see this last part where the women and John come to the cross. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, that's John, standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had been finished and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Why are they there? Those three women and John, they shouldn't be there. They're in danger. All the other disciples have run away. They shouldn't be there. It's a place of horror. They're there because they love him, because they've experienced what real love is. And even at this ugliest of moments, they see the beauty of his love and are just starting to understand what this means for them and for the world. You notice who was there? His mom. The mother who had conceived him by the power of the Holy Spirit, who had raised him to love God and know about God and his word, along with Joseph, who had taught him everything growing up. There she is watching the son she raised die. And who else was there? Jesus' aunt. His own brothers were not believing in him until after the resurrection. They're not around. But his aunt is there. And also another Mary, the wife of Clopas. John names these people by name so people living could go and talk to them, these eyewitnesses, and see what really happened there. What was said from that cross, what love looks like, what love did for them. And then Mary Magdalene was there. Jesus had saved her from the jaws of hell, and Satan himself drove out seven demons from her earlier. They were there because they loved him. And then right up to the end, in a moment when it would be completely natural for him to only be thinking of himself, because when I'm in pain, when I'm suffering, I'm only thinking about myself. But no, he thinks about his mom. And he looks at her and he looks at John and he says, "Mom, John is going to take care of you from now on." Under pressure, under stress, under pain, he stays perfect. He loves well and loves perfectly even to the end. This is love. And we come back to the foot of this cross today. This ugly cross where we see true love. The love we have been looking for. The love we would hope would be true, would hope would be real. A lasting love. A love that never runs out. A love that loves no matter what. And we come to the foot of this cross, and we see Jesus completely understands us. Our pain, our loss, our suffering. He gets it. Because he went through so much more. He lost the perfect love with his father for a time. They'd been together forever, loved each other perfectly, but for a time, God turned away from him because he was full of our sins and couldn't stand the look of him. He gets us. And we come to this cross when we have our foolishness playing over and over in our mind. Those words that we can never take back, those things we've done that can never be undone. It's out there. We've been part of what's wrong with the world. We come with the messes we've made. We come to this cross, see that Jesus was held responsible for it all, not us. Jesus was judged. The mountain of God's justice crushed him, not us. This is love. He stayed there until absolutely nothing was left between us and our God. Until it was finished. This is love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's I-M-M-L-U-T-H. LUTH.org. Have a great day.